The Reaper virus.
It's what's for Armageddon.
All the times have come here, but now they're gone. Seasons don't
Document number 350009. Location, Watertown, Wisconsin, United States of America. Latitude 43.197366. Longitude -88.720469.
Dear Mrs. Brewster, Hi, it's Annie. How are you? Mandy, one of the older girls, is helping me write this on construction paper with my crayons. We're using lots of colors to make this pretty. You remember Mandy, right? I asked Mandy if I could make you a card, and she said yes. But she looks sad. Mandy and a lady, Miss Fleming, are taking care of us now that you're gone. And where did you go? Anyway, I'm making you a card so I can say thank you for saving us and the other kids from the dead men monster guys. I like it here at our new home, but kids keep going away. Miss Fleming takes them to another room, and they don't come back. Mandy says she takes them to where monster guys can never hurt them again. She says she'd take me there when I'm done making your card. Mandy cries now, though, and I don't like it when she cries. Mandy says my turn to go now, and says I will see you soon. I'll give you this card then. Love, Annie.
Document number 350726. Location, Boston, Lincolnshire, United Kingdom. Latitude, 52.974699. Longitude, -0.029124.
My darling, I'm so sorry, but I have some bad news. I'm afraid one of them bit my leg. It's my own fault. I was so silly, concentrating on pumping the water, and I didn't hear it shuffling up behind me in the yard. My hearing is going, and my old legs aren't as fast as they used to be. I've locked myself in the cellar, and I will push this note under the door in a moment. I do hope it's legible. The light is very faint. I know that we always wanted children, but were never blessed. All those children running in the street, half-clothed, and yet we had no one to share our love with. Then your sister died, but the county didn't let us adopt her twins. I wonder how those girls are doing. Do you think they're safe from this awful infection? The radio said it hadn't made it to the East Coast before it went silent. I can hear your feet on the floorboards. Are you looking for me? Will you see the blood by the well? This farm had kept us safe, the corn growing wild in the fields, the lack of neighbors, but there's so many more of them now. It's like they're spreading, looking for new food sources. I saw the Matheson farm burning last week. I know you tried to keep it from me, but I fear now that you will be very alone, very soon. Richard, dearest, you are my life, my moon, my sun. At the best of times, now, here at the worst, we've always been together. Whatever you may see or hear, I will always love you. All I ask is that you remember me as I was, not as I will be. From the agony we've been through, I've concluded that if there is a God, he's not as good as people think. Now, I'm not done with life, but I'm afraid it's done with me. I feel my skin growing cold, my brain more sluggish. Dear heart, I can't fight it any longer. It's growing dark. Dottie.
Document number 761990. Location, Albany, New York, United States of America. Latitude, 42.61445. Longitude, -73.755254.
to the last bastard left. This is my last statement before I take my own life. This pencil, paper, and one single round left of my handgun is all that's left. That last damn biter took a chunk out of my leg before I put him down. This has been a hard couple of weeks for the country. The attack on Los Angeles was bad enough, but the 13 other attacks just put everyone over the edge. I hoarded as much as I could, enough for a few weeks at least. I thought I was safe here, but I was wrong. Fuck. We were all wrong. Thinking that we could overcome this challenge was the biggest joke of them all. The government was foolish to think that firebombing all the cities would stop it. All it did was temper the fire that was brewing under the surface. My family never had the chance to run. They were at ground zero in Los Angeles. I didn't have time to mourn their passing before the shit hit the fan here. I was at school when the attack on Albany happened. Luckily, I was in class when the downtown area was hit. My professor dismissed our class once word spread. I drove to the grocery store to stock up on food and water. That was before the looting and violence started. My dad gave me a 9mm handgun and a box of shells before I left for school. Back in my loft here in the big rotting apple, I had food, water, and a weapon to get me through this. The government had taken back control of L.A. pretty quickly. I never knew that this situation would be completely different. After 2 weeks, I became quite concerned when the power went out. Things changed. The dead had moved from downtown to the outlying suburbs. I can hear them moaning day and night. It got to the point I needed to get out. I was running out of food and sanity. That was a mistake. I didn't make it more than 20 feet from my door when I was attacked and bitten. He was the first person I ever shot. Won't be the last. That'll be when I shoot myself. I don't want to walk around in a haze of death, feasting on flesh. Now I hate you, whoever is reading this. You're alive long after I'm gone. Don't worry what my name was. I'm a statistic. Signed, the soon-to-be-dead.
Document number 344118. Location, Orlando, Florida, United States of America. Latitude, 28.532835. Longitude, -81.377389.
My dearest Lisa, I'm sorry. I know you'll be coming to look for me when I don't return home. I got careless and one of those fuckers took advantage. Bit me right on the forearm. Everything you need is piled right here. It should be enough to see you through for a while. I found the supplies we needed, and then some. You were right. We should have come together. You would have saved my ass, but you can't worry about that now. You have to survive. I love you so much, and it pains me to know I'll never see your angelic face again. I hope to God you don't come looking for me, but I know you, so I'm leaving you this note. God, I can see the infection working its way through my veins. They're blackening under my skin as I write this. I don't have much time. If I had a bullet left, I'd put it through my skull and save you the horror of seeing me undead and rotting. Hopefully, should you come, I'll have shambled out into the world and you'll never see me again. But in case I am here, please put me out to pasture. I know you can do it. You were always there for me. You were always stronger than me. I've taken precautions and have stapled my lips together. I'm not going to lie. It hurt like hell, but the pain was nothing compared to my broken heart, my longing to hold you just once more. I wish I had the time to make it back to you, but I'm afraid I'd turn and jeopardize your life. Please know I'd never hurt you, even as a mindless undead fuck. I will never do you harm. After I finish writing this, I plan on cutting off my hands so I won't be able to scratch you. I set up a table saw to do it. For you, I will be brave and do what is necessary. I want you to know how much you mean to me. You brought so much joy to my life. You supported all my crazy ideas and gave me unconditional love. For that, I am eternally grateful. I love you. Goodbye, Lisa, my love.
Document number 006751. Location, Antelope, Oregon, United States of America. Latitude, 44.909761. Longitude, -120.722107.
I've taken the kids and headed for Aunt Claire's. If you're reading this, you can try to catch up with us there. I'm done waiting. The last of our neighbors left yesterday. The only people in town now are the National Guard and the few men of yours from the station. There's a time when a person has to choose what's important in life. It seems you've made your choice. Now I'm going to make the best choice for the kids and I. We probably should have talked about this, but lately, I feel you're a stranger. It's become all about strategy sessions and contingency plans. Do you ever look around and notice that all the people who came up with those plans are long gone? They've left you holding the bag. You can't stop what's coming. Even with 1,000 more military and police officers, you couldn't hold them back. I don't even know why you care. You can't kill the dead, and if they don't kill you, then some lawless yahoo with a gun or some paranoid survivalist will. Would it really make a difference if someone stole a shovel from True Value or swiped a few cans of beans from the pay and pack? Would the world be any less poorer if the town just disappeared under a mass of restless dead? It's all gone to hell, Jack. Just pissed away while the politicians and talking heads debated and calculated how much face time the crisis would buy them. It's just us now. I hope you make it through. I hope you toss your rifle into the nearest ditch and drive your cruiser as fast as you can to Claire's. I won't promise I'll be waiting. Who can be sure of anything anymore? But I hope, and I'll keep an eye out for you on the road. Megan.
All our times have come. Here, but now they're gone. Seasons don't fear the creeper.
All day.
Document number 321996. Location, Allistown, Lower Hutt, Wellington, New Zealand. Latitude, -41.214451. Longitude, 174.889053.
To whom it may concern, if you're reading this, then I'm dust in the wind. I'm sure you know what happened with the zombies and all that. So there's no need for me to go through it. And to be quite honest, I really can't be fucked. Having stumbled into this room, you found 15 bodies. One of them is me. This is the assisted suicide room, and I drew the short straw. Lucky me, huh? Stanley produced a Glock 19 with 15 rounds in the magazine, and handed it to me with something akin to relief on his face. I guess he didn't have the balls to put everybody out of their misery. Stanley's not a bad guy. I've known him for a few years. He worked, as a cataloger at the library, and has extensive information on the events in his little notebook. We all wrote letters. He's writing about the zombies. They've all scribbled on bits of paper in their last handwriting, and folded it into their pockets. I'm sure you'll find them. I, on the other hand, am using this computer, and I plan on saving it on an SD card. I figured paper probably isn't the best choice. Who knows how long the paper letters will survive and remain readable. The data on an SD card can be extracted and reformatted to other digital formats. I don't have a family, except perhaps the people in this room. I only met most of them a few weeks ago, and we've been through so much since then. The pain, the fear, the anguish, the hopelessness, and the loss. I figured that pretty much makes us family. What do you reckon? What's that sound? Everybody's going tense, silent. We're in a secure facility in an airtight room. Little ventilation, but enough to hold us a while longer. Looks like the leg-dragging, arm-hanging fuckers can't give us just a few more hours. Is that too much to ask for? Another thump on the door. I better get to shooting. If zombies get a hold of a live one, pain, my friend, pain. Skin ripped and torn, flesh chewed and swallowed. Shit, that's no way to go out. I told Stanley to hurry up with his documenting. His eyes beg for more time. He hasn't written his last will and final letter yet. I can't tell him time's run out. I motion to the door. The thumping is loud and strong. Sooner or later, one of them is going to accidentally hit the keypad and unlock the door. I don't want to be around when that happens. There's no time to save this onto the SD card, but the printer is full of paper. Ah, shit.
Document number 412953. Location, Decatur, Illinois, United States of America. Latitude 39.84584. Longitude -88.952461.
Sit rep transmission 1, day 1. This is Civilian Captain John Tarrant with the ZRT, 2nd Volunteers. During our airlift into Zone 401 on a search and rescue mission, we experienced engine failure and crashed into an apartment block. The pilot and co-pilot were killed on impact, and we've attracted quite a bit of attention from Zeds in the area. My three-man team and I will continue with our mission and leave markers for evac teams as to our location. The building that the survivors are holed up in is only 2 blocks north. Looks like we'll have to run and gun to get there. Out. Sit rep transmission 2, day 1. There are 7 survivors total, 2 men, 3 women, and 2 children. Injuries are light, a broken leg on one of the adult males, and one of the women has received a concussion. They are survivors of a convoy that were trying to get to Montana Liberated Zone. They're holed up in an abandoned 2-story office building and managed to seal the place pretty well. In fact, they have enough supplies to last for at least another week, if needed. We'll start treating the wounded and securing the building with the materials available at hand. I've been to the rooftop to mark our position for another evac chopper. While I was there, I noticed that we're attracting quite a crowd. Out. Sit rep, transmission 3, day 2. Rescue chopper 14 dropped a radio onto the rooftop this morning. Due to power lines, they'll be unable to pick us up here. We'll have to escape somehow and link up with them in a safer location. The dead have us surrounded now and are trying to force their way into the building. The sounds are horrible. I've relocated all the survivors into the roof and positioned my men throughout the building. Breach! Breach! West wall, 3rd window! Sit rep, transmission 4, day 3. We've managed to force them out and retake the 1st floor. It wasn't easy, and 2 of my men were wounded. No bites, thank God. A broken wrist, a dislocated shoulder, and an eye injury. It'll slow us down, though, and once we leave this building, we can't come back. We're low on ammo now, and with the men's injuries, our effectiveness is limited. Outside, the dead are worked into a frenzy. I've located a sub-basement, and we'll head down shortly to check it out. We've got to catch a break soon. Out. Sit rep transmission 5, day 4. We're in rough shape right now. The barricades are starting to give, and we don't have much time, so I'll make this quick. I've managed to find a way out. In the basement of this building is a short tunnel that leads to a severe weather shelter. In the back of that, the shelter has a door that connects to a parking garage. There are no cars parked at the top level, which will make for an excellent landing pad. The dead are concentrated around our building and have not infiltrated the garage as yet. All entrances on the ground level are sealed. I've already radioed Central, and a chopper is due to arrive within 15 minutes. We're leaving now. Out. Sit rep, transmission 6, day 4. They've broken through and are following us down the tunnel. I've ordered 2 of my men to scout ahead while Jackson and I bring up the survivors. Jackson and the healthy survivor are carrying the injured man, while I follow as the lag man. We're moving too slowly, and I'm running low on ammo. The tunnel has amplified the noise of the gunfire. I'm half deaf now, but I can still hear the bastards coming. I've got to slow them down. Sit rep, transmission 7, last rite. I'm invoking the act of last rite. I know that my wife and son are more than likely dead. They were with my mother-in-law in St. Louis when it was overrun, but I still had to hope. They were the only family I had left. To my wife Molly and my son Jack, I have to make this quick, so forgive me for being short. I never loved anyone or anything as much as you 2. Do you remember that night in the country? We were staying with my brother, and it was 2 days before Christmas. It had started to snow while we were wandering around his farm. The flakes were so big, and the only sound was of them hitting the trees, and we just walked, never saying a word between the three of us. That night will be the last thought in my mind when the end comes. I love you both. John Tarrant, husband and father, out. After action report. Captain Tarrant gave his digital voice recorder to Corporal Jackson to be returned to Central before he sent his team and the survivors out of the tunnel under the orders that they get on the chopper and stay there. Using Jackson's remaining ammo, Captain Tarrant then played a rear guard action that slowed the oncoming dead and bought the rest time to board the chopper. The rescue team waited as long as possible for Captain Tarrant. He never emerged onto the rooftop. All 7 of the survivors and the 3 men survived. Dead infestation in the area has made any attempts to search for Captain Tarrant unfeasible. Missing. Presumed dead.
Document number. Ivor. Slow. United Kingdom. Latitude. 51.508001. Longitude. -0. 0.596341.
Dear Mom and Dad, well, I finally mustered the courage to attempt death by Frankenstein, and I failed miserably. It was the last course of action I could think of without resorting to an out-and-out suicide. So what can I tell you, except that the solitude has become unbearable, doubly so, since I'm trapped in foreign land. But wait a moment. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me start from sometime around Z-Day. Just after you saw me off at the airport, then you understand my latest, my final decision. The flight from New York was uneventful, except that for a few passengers with the sniffles. Then at London's Heathrow Airport, the film company had a driver waiting to take me to the set of Zombie Resurrection Men 2. The company was behind schedule and needed a skilled makeup man at Pinewood Studios as soon as possible. As you know, I always try on the makeup I use first. So there I was, goofing around, all made up with my arms outstretched, groaning like a trooper, when a bunch of other genuine zombies turned up on the set. The first I knew they were the real deal was when they started chewing on the sound man and ripping his guts out. To cut a long story short, although the undead munched through the leading man, the leading lady, and the rest of the cast and film crew, they left me alone. Then off they swarmed, in search of fresh meat. As for me, they mistakenly believed I was one of them and didn't bother me. So I decided to hold up here, at Pinewood Studios, situated amidst the relative safety of the English countryside. What with my makeup and my zombie costume, I figured I could hold out till rescue arrived. So that's what I did. Whenever I need food, I sally out disguised as a zombie to the quaint English villages surrounding Pinewood Studios. It wouldn't be so bad if I didn't have to stay in character during my sorties abroad. If the makeup slips, or if I shuffle a bit too rapidly, or if I put my hands in my pockets or scratch my nose, they'll know I'm not a kosher zombie. In a matter of moments, I could be toast, or sushi, more like. Now I know why method actors go nuts. The real debilitator is the loneliness. Months have passed without a single word to another human being. I think of you often, Mom, Dad, back in the States, back in my homeland. I pray that things have turned out better for you than they have for me. So let me explain my death by Frankenstein attempt at ending it all. I ran out of my own zombie makeup, so I moved across to the 007 set, then to the set of a cowboy film in search of more. At first, there was plenty of gory creams and prosthetic scars for me to put on my face. However, the former also eventually ran out, and the latter kept falling off and getting lost. Finally, at the Hammer House of Horror sets, when I disregarded all other options, I found a Frankenstein mask. It was so unrealistic, so hokey. I was certain even a zombie couldn't fall for the deception. So I guessed when I went out and faced my nemesis, it would be death by Frankenstein. But I was wrong. Last week, when the undead stormed, well, shuffled actually, through my sprawling habitat in search of fresh victims, I donned the Frankenstein mask in full expectation of being torn limb from limb. Then I did my usual routine of groaning and shambling about with my arms held out in front of me. And what happened? As always, they left me alone and continued on their way. Well, that was a little while back, and my desperation to end it all has grown since then. So I hope you'll forgive me for ending it all. To that end, I've put together a new song and dance routine for my enemies. Literally. From Pinewood Studios' extensive wardrobes, I've purloined a gaudy checkered jacket, a pair of blue trousers, and a pair of tap shoes. I've augmented my costume with a straw hat and cane. Ma, Pa, I plan to make you proud of me at last. You've never respected my decision to become a makeup artist. You said I was a sissy. Well, with my final performance getting closer each day, I'm all set to go center stage to be the star turn. Finally, I'll meet your expectations. To this end, I'm waiting for a torrential downpour. England's famous for them, so it should come soon. Then I'll take a stroll out to one of those places where the zombies congregate. There's to be no more hiding. I'll be going out in style. When I step out in front of the ghoulish audience with my tap shoes, my cane, my garish outfit, it'll just be like Singing in the Rain. It'll be Deaf by Gene Kelly. Farewell, Mom and Dad. Love, Jack.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I'll walk down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing, singing in the rain. Dancing in the rain, yeah, 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 yeah. I'm happy again. I'm singing and dancing in the rain.
Document number 886410. Location, Seattle, Washington, United States of America. Latitude, 47.603561. Longitude, -122.329437.
My love, Sarah. I promised that I would end your life when the virus took hold. And for not doing so, I apologize. You see, I've come up with a solution. I lay awake at night watching your bound body as the transformation took place. I watched and watched, and at some point I became aware, on many levels, that I could not put our one remaining bullet into your beautiful head. When you awaken, when the threat is over, and everyone has been restored to their old selves, please don't hate me for what I'm about to do. When little Alex bit you, it was the most terrifying experience of my life. I've never felt such an overwhelming sense of terror as the moment our sweet son rolled over in his bassinet and sank his teeth into your arm. I know you were in denial, that you refused to believe he was one of them. Even as the virus changed you, your cries were always for him. Oh God, how he howls. As much as I want to take away his pain, I simply can't work up the nerve. I've stood over his tiny crib for hours, gun in hand, while he screams. He twists and turns, and if you saw his teeth, his blood-filled eyes, gray and cracked skin, it would break your heart, my love. I want to press the gun to his head and give him peace. But I'm not that kind of monster. So twice I've failed you, and twice I beg your forgiveness. I have no doubt that the government has everything under control. I know that any day they will come through the door with a cure for the virus. They will give it to you and our sweet little Alex, and you and he will live a long and happy life. Please think of our time together fondly, and tell him all about me. Tell him how I was brave enough to turn the gun on myself rather than succumb to the virus, starvation, or a pack of howling beasts that are even now at our door. I know that they are attracted to the living, that they can somehow sense my presence here, so with my death, you and Alex will be left alone. Oh, my love, there are so many things I wish I could have said to you in life, and those times I should have said I love you, but instead kissed or hugged you. I should have said those words every day, because they were always on my lips and in my heart. And so at the end, I will lay down by your side and put the gun to my own head. With my eternal love, your devoted husband, Lyle.
Document number 040863, location Marcellus, Illinois, United States of America. Latitude 41.33023, longitude minus 88.708149.
For the first time since this whole thing started, I'm scared. I always thought that if I could see the lights from the nuclear power plant down the road, that everything would be fine. My whole life, I've lived in the shadow of the power plant, and those lights made me feel safe. I figured that when the lights went out, that would mean there was a problem with the reactor, and that would mean a nuclear disaster barely 5 miles from my front door. When people started dying from the virus and coming back to life, I wasn't really worried. I figured if I could see those lights at night before I went to sleep, I could rest easy. That there was hope. I should have left when I had the chance. Tonight, as I got ready for bed, I looked out of the window and saw nothing but black sky and millions of stars. Not the comforting 6 orange-colored lights that outlined the main building of the plant and the 2 red lights on the top of the reactor. I clutched the windowsill, straining to see anything. But nothing was all I saw. That blackness filled my heart, and I cried because now I know that it'll all be over soon. I can't decide what is worse, knowing that one of those things could come in the darkness and rip me limb from limb and infect me, or knowing that in probably just a few hours or days, I'll die a slow, painful death from radiation poisoning. None of the radiation drills we did in grade school could have prepared me for this. I wished I would have left the farm with my family on vacation, but I had to stay behind and work. I haven't heard from them or anybody in over a month, and I don't know if they'll ever come back. if they're still alive, they won't ever be able to come home. Not if everything is irradiated. Part of me thinks it would be best if I just ended things myself, on my terms. But I can't help but wonder, what if there is hope? What if the bulbs just burned out? What if someone can save me? I don't know why I'm even writing this letter. It isn't like anyone will find it, and nobody will even care. It beats doing nothing, I guess. At least I feel like I'm doing something other than waiting to die. If anyone does find this, please let my family know what happened to me, if they're even alive. And tell them I love them, and tell them, just tell them I didn't suffer, whatever happens. Signed, Angel Williams.
Thank you.